St. Paul tells the Ephesians, "Brethren, be ye therefore followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The curé of ours once told the story that he had met a soldier who fought in France that told him during a particular battle, he had to march for half an hour over dead bodies. There was hardly a space to tread upon, and the whole ground was dyed with blood. And the Holy Curé makes use of this story to point out the fact that so it is on the road of life. We must walk over crosses and troubles to reach our true country. He tells us that we can bear our cross as either of the two thieves at either side of our Lord in the Passion. We can accept it, as did St. Dismas, the good thief, and hear those beautiful words, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Or we can curse our crosses and lose our soul. I want to speak to you today about our Lord's carrying of the cross. For we are after all, meant to be followers of our blessed Lord. Now, to begin with, there were two parts of our Lord's carrying of the cross: that which took place within the city walls of Jerusalem, and that part, the second part, happened outside the city of Jerusalem when he began climbing the ascent to Mount Calvary. Now, inside the cities, that is where he fell three times, causing delay after delay to a tired bunch of soldiers. But the three falls represented the repeated falls of us sinners. Now, he finally comes to the edge of town. And he takes one, two, three, four more steps. Now he is out of the city walls. His back, this is significant, now pointed towards Jerusalem. That is to symbolize that he has turned his back upon the Jewish people because they had hardened their hearts so much that they were willing to commit the greatest sin, that of deicide. He had tried and tried and tried again and given them all of these precious graces, and they would not have them. They hardened their hearts. And so it is symbolic that he walked with his back facing Jerusalem. Now he is outside. We find ourselves in the second part of this carrying of the cross. The farther our Lord walked, the greater was the fear of Christ's enemies, of course, that he might die before they were able to crucify him. They wanted above all else to hang him from the cross, which was the most embarrassing type of death, meant only for criminals, the worst of them. So when the ascent of the hill of Mount Calvary began, our Lord, his exhaustion had reached its height. In fact, it had gone beyond all human limitations, so much so that the only thing that kept him alive was a continuous miracle that enabled his human body to withstand such pain, such loss of blood, and not die. So his exhaustion reached its height. And now here would be the first time that in the Passion that Christ would receive any sort of sympathy, any sort of relief from anyone. He would at this time receive relief and consolation, albeit it was a cruel sort of sympathy. His enemies were now faced with this question as they watched him so weakly carry the cross. Who is going to help Jesus to carry his cross? The chief priests? No, it wasn't for them. The Roman soldiers? No, they wouldn't dare to carry that cross because the cross to them meant shame. It was an instrument of curse. Just at that very moment when they were debating over who should carry the cross for our Lord, a stranger named Simon of Cyrene was passing by. They say that he was born a pagan and that he converted to Judaism, but he was actually a pagan by birth. And there's symbolism in that, which we'll get to later. Now, as soon as the chief priest saw Simon walking by, then the chief priest told the soldiers to take him and lay the cross on his shoulders. This pleased the Romans. They were already tired of waiting. They had been up all night with our Lord. And one event led into another. It was continuous activity. And every delay, every fall of our Lord along the way was just another delay that annoyed them. So they were very happy with this solution. The Romans, by the way, could force anyone into service in cases of necessity, so they made use of this privilege. Now, when they put the cross on Simon, they say that he inwardly rebelled. He did not want to carry this cross, but outwardly, he kept a very cheerful face. Let's listen to find out the reason. Let's listen to what a pagan writer said. When pressed into service and driven by the soldier, let it happen. Do not resist it. Do not grumble, or thou shalt receive blows and lose thy mule besides. You had no choice, and you had better like it, in other words. The spiritual lesson is very important. As I said, Christ had already reached human limitations in carrying the cross. Now he was being kept alive by a miracle, which says that he far exceeded the pain and the agony of any human being. So now the question is this: why did Christ, who never missed an opportunity to suffer in his whole life, in his entire passion, why did he now make this one exception and accept the assistance of another man? One author gives four reasons. The first reason is this, that our Lord wished to remind us that sinners, represented by Simon, should in justice carry the cross and suffer death, and that his own, that means Christ's own death, was not, it was rather due to sinners, not to himself. So that was our cross. Secondly, he carried this cross first as a sign of his victory over Satan. Not even Satan could put Christ to death in this way, by carrying the cross. And then he gave it to Simon as another sign. Thirdly, it was not enough that Christ should carry the cross for us, as some Protestants would have you believe. They teach that Christ has carried the cross and died on it for me. I am therefore saved automatically. That is what they teach, but that is not the truth. It was not enough that Christ should carry the cross for us, but rather it was necessary that we also should carry it. That's why he gave it to Simon. We must fill up the sufferings of Christ. And the fourth lesson is that he wanted to teach us that we must patiently bear not only crosses sent directly by God, ill health, bad weather, storms, etc., but also the crosses that are imposed on us by the malice of men. So we see it today, the malice of communism and the burden that they will put upon us. You've seen it over the last 2 years. You see it in other countries. Those are crosses that we must endure. We must fight against, but we still, as long as we have to suffer this yoke, still must bear them patiently. Now, to conclude, it is very difficult to carry the cross patiently with resignation to God's will. And no one says that it should be painless. But according to the cure of ours, it becomes easier when, like Simon, we keep Christ before our eyes and look more upon him than upon the cross which drags behind us. Simon rebelled inwardly at first. Then, through the grace of our Lord, this cross that he carried became lighter and lighter and even sweeter to Simon, so that at the end, when they reached Mount Calvary, he gave up the cross only with much reluctance. You see that actually in the movie The Passion of the Christ, the reluctance with which he left. And then let us not forget the fruits of carrying our cross as well. For Simon, what did he gain? His entire family was converted then, later on, and believed in Christ. His two sons, Rufus and Alexander, became bishops, and he and his sons became eventually saints of the Catholic Church and are now saints in heaven, all because Simon bore that cross. But the key and the last point is this: because it is not easy to bear the cross, we must not look at our crosses as coming from other men. We've got to see our Lord's hand in every single one of them. Don't look at the cross dragging behind you. Look at Christ and follow him, because he is leading you cross by cross heavenward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.